Yeah, I think as you learn how human beings are meant to be treated with love, respect, with the dignity, then you look at your own life and you say, well, those things are missing, and why is that? You know, as human beings, we are all worthy of those things. And so I went on this journey of self-discovery.
Welcome to the Deeper Awareness Podcast, where profound discoveries and transformative stories come to life. I'm your host, Josh Perry, alongside delightful Hannah Oxley. We will be embarking on an inward journey in the realm of conscious awareness. In this podcast, we'll be diving deep into the mysteries of the mind, body, and spirit, exploring the power of breathwork, self-reflection, and emotional healing. Join us as we share thought-provoking interviews and discussions with our inspiring guests to unravel the secrets to living a more authentic and purposeful life. Whether you're a seasoned seeker of truth or just beginning your quest for self-discovery, this podcast is for anyone longing to embrace the depths of their true essence. Are you ready to open your heart and mind to embark on this remarkable journey toward deeper awareness? The Deeper Awareness Podcast, where wisdom and inspiration await. We're happy to have Victoria here today. For all of our audience, a little background. Victoria and I were in the same PAWS program. And I'm excited for this interview because we get to know you better. I'm going to share my experience within the breakout room when I met Victoria. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I am super cool with that. Okay.
So we were doing the lab calls every Monday night, and then it's a big group, and then they break us up into like dyads, they call it. So two people in a Zoom room, and she and I had never met before. And I don't actually remember the premise or the exercise. Do you remember that?
Not at all.
Okay.
It seems like a blur.
Okay, perfect.
I think they told you to just stare at each other for 10 minutes.
Oh, maybe that could have, exactly. It could have been one of those.
Yeah, yeah. And so what my experience was I saw this, because the lady in front of us is, you know, there's this kindness and this beauty, but I saw this warrior. And it was this fire, and I was just like afraid. Like I was like, whoa, I was afraid of the power. And but I could, it was like I could see beyond what you even see in yourself, maybe, or that it may be hard to believe that that's you, kind of thing. And that's probably true of everyone, right? But my particular experience was I was just like in awe of this energetic, powerful woman. And so we started doing breath work. During the practicum, I'd sign up for her hours, or you know, and she, I was like, she gave me little morsels of her story. And I was like, And I said, are you going to write a book?
You did.
Yeah.
Several times.
Have you started yet?
No, I think my answer to that was I still need to live a little bit more. I need a little more experience under my belt.
But yeah, you have so much experience and wisdom that maybe you don't know is wisdom yet. So, with all of that, why would you spend a little time and just kind of give us a little background into who you are, And then we're going to, so the name of our podcast is Deeper Awareness. And so we like to hear the, like, where you were when you were just living life, doing the thing that society tells you will provide joy or fulfillment or whatever. And then, was there a moment where it was like, okay, this isn't working, I need to do something else? And that's kind of when you turned inward. If this is resonating, then if you can just kind of follow that guide, loose guideline.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for sharing that. That was very humbling. It was also very insightful because, like you said, sometimes we don't have that awareness within ourselves. We may feel it or have snippets of that feeling of power within us, but sometimes we hush it because of whatever shadow that we have or insecurity that we're holding on to. So thank you so much. I also like to say sometimes when we name those things about other people, it could also be a reflection of what you're feeling inside yourself, because you saw that within yourself. And, you know, when you see it outside you, I was holding a mirror. So I saw the same in you as well, that fire. A little bit about me. So I think I've never really sat down or shared my story from, I've shared snippets of it with people. And I think it's because depending on whatever conversation you're having with somebody, I felt it was appropriate to share little snippets. Because I wanted to maybe perhaps relate, perhaps I wanted to create some sort of safety and connection with the person that I'm interacting with, but I'm more than happy to share. So I am a product of immigrant parents. I am an immigrant from, my parents were born in, my dad is from Afghanistan. My mom is from Russia, and I always, growing up, thought to myself, like, how did these two people get together? Because historically, if you ever know, they were at war with each other for years, and there was a lot of corruption, and I don't know the full history of it, but I saw it translate in my own family household. It felt like World War III every single day in my home. So I grew up in kind of a very dysfunctional environment, and I didn't understand that until I started growing up and, like, seeing other people at school have such calm, normal living situations. And then I started to question, like, this doesn't feel good. And why is that? So up until I was five, I lived in Russia. I was born in Russia. And then my dad immigrated my mom and I and my brother to Canada, where his family lived in. So he's one of eight kids. And so growing up, I grew up in Canada. I would say that it was semi-normal, but we were a poor family. My dad worked two jobs. He was... by profession, he was an orthopedic surgeon, and he was a doctor back home. So he was very prideful and wanted to do the same thing when he moved to North America. But sadly, because of language barrier and situational things, he couldn't continue living that profession. And so he worked two jobs, and my mom worked as a daycare assistant, also the language barrier. And so, like, I watched my family struggle, and I had three younger brothers. And me, I was just trying to figure out life. I grew up in a very strict family household. My dad is Muslim, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with Afghanistan and just... the mentality they have towards the treatment of women. There's a lot of oppression. There is a lot of misogyny. women are expected to cook, clean, and just be nurturers, and never given credit for that. And they're still not good enough. And so that was exemplified in the way my mom was treated by my dad. And there was a lot of domestic violence. There was a lot of abuse as a child. And it was just a very scary place to live. So that's kind of childhood feeling, if that kind of paints the picture. And so into my teens, I went into nursing school right after high school because my dad signed me up for it. There was a lot of control growing up, so I was never allowed to autonomously think for myself. I was afraid about topics of sexuality and the evolving woman. And as I was evolving and emotions were coming up, I was not allowed to express those. Those things are very shameful and tainted. You don't talk about those things. So, you know, it's already hard being a teenager, but you're going through all these changes and you have to oppress them. And in my nursing, towards my end of nursing school, I became acquainted with a family friend who ended up wanting to pursue me. And so in our culture, we don't believe, my dad didn't believe in dating. So the topics of being virgin and being pure are very upheld in the Islamic culture, and especially with my dad being so controlling, he wanted to make sure that I was walking the right path and doing all the right things. I was getting the good grades and, you know, doing everything that a good girl should do. And then, like, life took a different turn. So I was pursued by this individual, ended up kind of being forcefully married to this person at the age of 20, because it was talking to this person. And so it would be dishonorable to not continue that relationship through unionship. And so it was like, okay, you know, don't have much experience with dating and what it is to be in a relationship and what marriage constitutes. And you're kind of thrown into this scenario. And it was in that awful experience that I developed that pivotal moment of, okay, there has to be more to life than just following the rules, because this girl who did follow all the rules and did all the right things feels awful about life and just doesn't even want to live. So I don't know. Do you want me to stop and take a break? Because
if you need to take a break, this is like, you should write a book. Wow. It's like, wow. Your honor you. Thank you for sharing that so far.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. The person that I ended up getting married to didn't want to have children, didn't want to settle down, did not have a wedding. I ended up basically living in this home with my mother-in-law and kind of being a prop, a possession. And in hindsight, when I was thinking about it, I never wanted to get married to this person. It was a very scary, dysfunctional situation where I was being chased and like, you have to be with this person. And I've never really talked about this, but I felt in a sense like once I gave myself physically to this person, now I was stuck. Like there was this idea I would never be wanted anymore. I was used. I was, I'm basically going to be left at the side of the road if I don't continue on with this relationship. And so I was in that marriage for 4 years. This person was unfaithful and in many different ways. And I developed an eating disorder because in his mind, I was supposed to be beauty. In his mind was a 90-pound girl who was thin and didn't talk back and washed his clothes and cooked for him and didn't have needs and wants, but was a provider. So I was groomed into thinking like, your needs don't matter, your voice doesn't matter, and you're here to just to serve and please this man. And it was really sad. And I think as soon as I hit that rock bottom, when this person left me for a younger 19-year-old who had a child, and yet he told me he didn't want to have children, and I was sitting at home by myself for months, I just thought to myself, there has to be more to life than this. And I know I am worthy and deserving of more. So I think that's where it clicked. And that's where I started to go inward and kind of fight for my worthiness and come out of that shell and embrace my voice and my needs, even if my voice trembled.
I love that. There's just that little spark of that need to feel worthy of all of your desires. Like, even if it becomes like, so like, that's not for me. Like, no, I can't have that. There's still just that little thing that keeps you going. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I think as you learn how human beings are meant to be treated with love, respect, with the dignity, then you look at your own life and you say, well, those things are missing. And why is that? You know, as human beings, we are all worthy of those things. And so I went on this journey of self-discovery. Growing up in a very dysfunctional home, I didn't know what safety was in my body. My body was always in activation mode. And I remember I started meditating because I needed to calm this body down. It was always on high alert. It was ready to defend herself. And so I, over time and therapy and literature and just learning about myself, I was able to learn that the world is not a dangerous place. It can be, but it's, if our thoughts can make us sick, they can also make us heal and grow and expand. And so I'm a firm believer in that. And I think that we can heal ourselves out of whatever trauma or situation that we, you know, encountered.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That is an incredible story.
Thank you.
So are you still in Canada or have you moved?
No. So I've been divorced for 6 years and I had moved from Canada to Virginia to be with this person. Lived there for 4 years. And then once I filed for a divorce 6 years ago, I moved to California and I started from zero. So I didn't know anybody, don't have any communication with family. I just started to create a new identity for myself. So I've been out in the US probably about 10 years, a little more.
And what has like work looked like for you? Like, were you able to work when you were married or you were just supposed to stay home?
Yeah, good question. I worked, so I finished school, nursing school, when I was in Canada. And so I moved to the US and I started working almost right away once I had my work visa and I was legally able to work. And I was the breadwinner, actually, for most of our marriage.
Wow.
And then, I've been working since. So, yeah.
Are you still a nurse?
I am. Yeah.
And do you like that?
I think, to be quite honestly, it has grown on. I think I've learned to be really good at it. I wouldn't say that it's, people say, is this your passion? I think it was kind of forced upon me. And then I realized that there is so much reward in it, but also such a privilege to be able to hold somebody in the most least ideal state. Because to be honest, you know, when do we come into the hospital? When we're sick and vulnerable and not feeling well. And so it's kind of a gift to be able to be there and serve.
Love that.
Yeah.
And where do you like see yourself? Like, where, what do you, are you have any passion projects that you're working on, or any, like, what did your vivid vision look like when we, that you guys did that exercise, right, with Sam?
I think I'm in this headspace of trying to figure out what brings joy to Victoria and what makes her happy, because for so many years, she wasn't allowed to think for herself. She wasn't allowed to feel. And if she felt, she was punished for it physically, emotionally, mentally. And so now it's been the last, I would say, 10 years of her life has been to discover what she likes, what she doesn't like. And so I think, regardless of, I think the image is constantly changing, but the end feeling is the same. And it's this feeling of peace and joy and being surrounded with those that are loving and caring and having community, and whatever that looks like. So to answer your question, there's no end goal. And I've realized there really isn't. And just embracing the unknown, which is an everyday kind of task to kind of to work on, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. And it's like such a gift to be able, like, to discover that, all those things about you and how it is ongoing, and like finding joy in the littlest of things.
The littlest of things, yes. Like sitting at the beach and just like watching the water and just the serenity of it. I think what I've noticed most is freedom and peace is the most beautiful and the most taken granted thing that most people do, because they don't realize how amazing it is to be able to choose for yourself, to just sit in stillness, to eat whenever you want, to look the way you want, to feel sad when you want to feel sad. Mm. And that's golden.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. People do take it for granted, like that they get to, you know, even just feeling safe in your body, like that is huge. And I feel like a lot of people go through life feeling unsafe, but they don't even realize it.
Right. And then you also, like, I think a lot of people try to, you know, we all have different walks of life and different things that come our way. But it's our coping mechanisms that kind of help us with the outcome. So it's like, I think my coping mechanism was achievement. And so I knew that I would be safe if I had achievement and I got the good job and got the stable place to live, and it was just achievement after achievement. But over time, you know, what you end up doing is you take that pole of achievement and you keep pushing it forward and forward and forward, and so you're never really satisfied with life. And so that's when you have to take a step back and say, okay, like, this is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let me reintegrate into this and appreciate what is in the present moment.
I love that. So inspiring.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful story.
I was just sitting here in awe as you shared that. And like your understanding in the middle of all of that, that there has to be something different. And holding out, I don't know if it was hope or whatever, but just, and to see you here now, choosing to take your own time, that there's no pressure, there's nothing outside of you deciding. It's you're like, I get to decide, and I may just do nothing, and that's okay.
Yes. I think just the way you, I think the last point really hit home, even if I choose to do nothing, and that's okay.
Like, you're still worthy.
Right. Right. Worthiness comes from that internal feeling, and we all have that innate. It's our birthright. It's not what we do and how much we talk and how we dress that makes us worthy. And just coming home to yourself, to that truth. I think that, yeah.
And you were right, Josh, like warrior. It's so much. It takes so much strength to push through all of that. Even just that, what you were just saying about the, so many people, I feel like they have a hard time breaking out of that, trying to achieve, when you can just sit and be like, and just be.
Yeah.
If this is it. Like, that is such a huge, I feel like a tricky wound to heal.
But I agree. Yeah. But I also sometimes wonder if it's because of that hustle mentality we have in this culture. You know, I think that also perpetuates that cycle. Because we're told, like, sitting, resting, you know, you should be going working out, and you should be coming up with a side hustle on the side, and all these things, we are rewarded for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to go counterculture and just for a second, see if that works better.
Yeah. I get so much joy out of doing nothing. And I used to have so much shame around that. And I used to, like, if someone called me like, oh yeah, I'm just doing this and this. And then I'm gonna, like, today I'm doing nothing and I'm enjoying it to the fullest.
Yeah. I know. It's like, why do we build up so much shame around that? Like, we're scared to say, or we'll come up with like a white lie.
Yeah, like, I have a little sniffle, so I'm gonna rest today. Like, no, I'm just resting.
Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's what breath work kind of helped us do, is actually just breathe. That was our only job, was to just lay and breathe and listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was very transformational, and that's why people keep coming back for it.
Yeah. I think that's the first thing people get out of it. It's like, oh, I just get to sit here and then I feel better after this hour. And then they do it again and they're like, oh, like, I became, it's, that's why we love the deeper awareness mm-hmm. phrase. It's like, you just cut another layer into, oh, like, safety does feel like there's a feeling in my body when I feel into that. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for breath work.
Yeah, me too. I think as our awareness, I think these modalities, whether it's meditation or breath work or going to a workshop, they just cut through the BS and like help us get to the core of the truth. And once you have that seed of knowledge, there's no way of going back and like having minimal conversations or surface level relationships. It doesn't satiate the soul anymore. Do you feel like that resonates for you as well as you learn more about yourself?
Absolutely. It's like I get to purge things now. Like, there's so many things in my life that I used to do or possess, and like, they don't matter anymore. Like, I have everything I need right here.
Yeah.
And my dog.
And your dog. What kind of dog?
She's a golden retriever.
Oh my God, stop. Those like, are the best.
She loves to get up right when we're recording. Come here. You have to lie down.
What's her name?
Her name's Angie.
No.
It was Angel, but I like the E sound at the end. It's much easier to call her. Staring at me. Angie, come lie down. She gives me this look like, no, I want to go outside.
Victoria, I'd love to hear. So you, what, how did you find breath work?
Good question. This was during the peak of the pandemic. And I think everyone coped with it differently. It's so interesting how when you talk about how was COVID for you, some people will say it was the best thing for them, and some people will say it's like the worst thing. But it was an opportunity to go inward, and I became acquainted with like a very holistic community within where I live. And there were a lot of different holistic practitioners, and they were kind of exchanging services to kind of help with the community's coping with the pandemic. And so there was one girl that was offering breath work, and it was on the beach. And so I was like, okay, you know, let's experience it. And so laying on the beach, doing breath work, tears came out. I had snot coming down my nose, and I was like, oh my God, like, am I the only one? Look around, and I feel like I'm the only one who's just like crying here. Everyone else is just breathing. I'm like, okay. Like, obviously I had a lot of pinned up sadness or emotion. And then I ended up being a volunteer, like to be breathed by somebody who was in the program, and which I found was such a healing experience. And then I forgot about it. So I completely forgot about it. And I think because I was in an email with Pause Breathwork, I would get their emails, but I wasn't in that headspace, and I wasn't ready to receive it. So I would delete without even reading that email. And then what happened, I went to a Dr. Joe Dispenza. Are you guys familiar with Dr. Joe? So I went to his 1 week immersion retreat. He was here in San Diego. And so we would meditate for like 5 hours. It was insane. Wow. And then we would have breaks, and then we would go into have lunch in this community area. It was at a conference center. And I'm standing in line, and there's this really excited girl standing in front of me or behind me. I can't tell, but we were just standing in line for the food. And it was Sam, but I didn't recognize her. So I was like, yeah, this is amazing. She's like, isn't this amazing? I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. And then I sat at the same table as her. And so we were just conversating, and I'm like, I really want to change my life. I don't know what I want to do after this. And she just like, I understand. And then, you know, that was a very brief conversation. And then I left the table. One day I finally opened up the Pause email, you know, one of the emails, like, and I see her picture on there, and I'm like, this girl looks so familiar. I don't know where. And then I put two and two together, her name and her picture. And I was like, what a small world. And so it was that little ping. Whoa. you know, it was like the universe kind of orchestrated this. I have to follow that. Mm-hmm. Forgot about it. I was like, okay, coincidences happen. And then another coincidence and another coincidence would happen. I'm driving on my way to work, and I hear open enrollment, last day for the facilitator program. And I was like, a full body yes came on, and I was like, you just got to do it. And so I enrolled, and that's how I met Josh, and then all the amazing people and you. So I think it was like, I don't know, it was just like godly orchestrated somehow. And did I just led with it.
Did you ever tell Sam that story?
I think I told somebody who was in enrollment, you know, helping you with, you know, those people who were helping enrollment. I was like, I had to tell you something really funny here. So I don't think, no, Sam and I never had a one-on-one conversation about that, but.
Yeah, you can hit her up on Instagram, I think. And honestly, send her a message. I think she would love that story so much.
And I love that about her too. Like, it's not like she's like, oh, you want to change your life? Like, I do this thing. Like, she was just like, cool.
She was just there. She was just being her. And it was just the most like innocent conversation of where, you know, you're just connecting with a person. And I knew nothing about her. And yet it's so interesting how full circle happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. I had no idea.
Yeah. And I then learned that she lives in the same neighborhood area that I do. So that was kind of weird because I saw her one time out and when I was out and about, and I was like, this is very interesting how life works.
So are you finished with everything? Did you finish
all your- I am finished. I did have to do an extension because I was just gonna take my time with it. I remember when I was just like trying to cram in hours, it just felt like not my authentic self, and I didn't want to white knuckle through it because I felt like safe in other aspects of my life, and I didn't need to play survival mode for this. I wanted it to be something on its own with a different kind of energy. So I took my time with it and I did finish, but I haven't started any practice with it yet. I think I want to just let it simmer a bit and see what happens after.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I honor you for taking that time because I felt the same way. I took the extension and I was like some shame in it, but then I was like, this is just my speed. This is how I approach things. Like, why not just honor how it feels good? So I'm happy you did that.
Me too. I'm happy that you did that too. Did you find that the time apart from it gave you a little bit more clarity with the direction you wanted to work with it?
Yeah, because I had some health issues at the time too. And so I was putting like so much pressure on myself. But when I was able to, you know, give myself the time and space to do it on my own pacing, that's when more stuff was downloading of like I really do love this. Like at first I was like, oh, like I'm trying to get these hours done and maybe this isn't my thing. Like I'm not like everyone else is so much quicker than me. But then when I was able to really enjoy it the way my body wanted to in that slower pace, I'm like, I really like this. Like, I think I can do something with this. And so it was just all perfectly aligned.
Love that. Yeah. I can definitely relate to that for sure.
Love that.
How did you end up in breath work? How did that stumble upon you?
Me?
Yeah. Both of you actually.
So it was also during, so let me think, 2019 is when I got like really, really sick with like all these gut issues. And that's like kind of when I was like, I was on all this medication and nothing was making me feel good. And I decided I wanted to take a holistic approach. So I was finding a bunch of people online who were like on this, it was called the specific carbohydrate diet, so that, you know, to heal your gut naturally. So I was like following all these people and I somehow followed, have you heard of Stevie Wright?
He sounds familiar.
It's a woman. And so
clearly I'm so sorry.
Well, there is a comedian called Stephen Wright, which is funny because I met him before too. But anyway, so somehow she came across my feed and she was just like dancing like in her underwear or something. And I was like, wow, I'm like, look at all the confidence this girl has. I'm like, how long have I been following her? Like, when did I start following her? Oh. And I think she just put on like a free workshop. And so this was when, the pandemic had happened or was happening. And I went, so it was May of 2020. I went up to Maine. So I'm in Massachusetts. My boyfriend and I went to his parents' house. We're like, let's just stay up here in Maine where we're away from all this chaos. And I was like, I'm going to lock myself in this room and I'm doing this weird thing. I'm like, if I don't come out in an hour, you can come check on me. I'm like going to be doing these like deep breathing. And I came out of that room and then my boyfriend's like, how'd that go? And I'm like, I left my body. Like I was gone. Like that was the craziest thing I've ever experienced. And then she has this like monthly membership thing. So I signed up for that right away. And as I was, you know, trying to heal my gut with this natural way, it gave me way more strength. And like, I was able to advocate for myself for like months in my life. Like I finally was like, I'm done with these medications. I'm done with all these things you want to do. The next thing they were telling me, if they're like, if this medication doesn't work, you're going to have to get your intestines removed or part of them or whatever. And I'm like, no, that's not what's happening to me. And I just was started doing breath work every single day. And I was so adamant that I'm going to heal myself naturally. And I found a doctor that was helping me naturally. And so I started feeling really good. And I was able to go back to work. So I had left work for a few months because I really was so sick. And then, so fast forward to, when did I sign up? Last year, like, so April of last year, I knew I wanted something different. Like, I went, because I, when I returned to my job, I realized that this is not it. This is so stressful. I hate it. Like, when I drive home every day, I would cry on my ride home, being like, these, you know, I worked in retail, so it's just like all these people always being pulled all different directions. Like, this, there has to be more to life than this. And I resonate so much with what, when you said it was just a full body yes. Like, I didn't even know what I was signing up for. Like, I had actually at one point thought I was signing up for the coaching, the somatic coaching thing. And like the day after, I was like, shoot, I'm like, this is the breath work only. Like, I was kind of thinking I wanted to be a coach. Mm-hmm. But when I even like wrote up an email to Mars or whatever, saying like, I think I meant to sign up for the other one. And something stopped me. And I was like, no, I'm going to do this breath work because this is so different and needed in this area. The old job I had was, I worked at a kitchen and bath showroom, so I'd help people remodel. Mm-hmm. And I just would see everybody so stressed going through these remodels. And I'm like, they need help, more help than just remodeling help. They need to realize that this is a gift that they have, that they get to remodel. And mm-hmm. So I just really had this passion to switch people's minds. Like, you know, this is exciting what we get to do in this life. So yeah, I signed up and didn't look back. I couldn't believe I had never invested so much in myself before. And yeah, it was amazing. Most amazing thing I've ever done.
Wow. That's beautiful. How you like honored your intuition about wanting to change and just knowing that whatever you were doing wasn't working anymore and that it was time to pivot.
Mm-hmm. It took a while. I actually ended up getting sick again. It's such a crazy story, but I tried to shorten it, but because I had gone back to work, I was still in the program, and I was getting all like, that's when I started getting sick again. Like I mentioned, I had to take the extension and I left work because I couldn't even go to work and I never returned. I was like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this work. And it's working. It's hard. You know, it's hard. That self-doubt comes in to sabotage me all the time. But I have so many loving, supportive people around me. Like my boyfriend reminds me, like when I'm like, oh, what am I doing? Like, I need to just go back to what I know and what I was good at and what I made money doing. And he's like, you came home crying every day. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
He's like, you're frustrated now. Like, maybe you don't have enough clients like you want, but he's like, I haven't seen you cry in unless I'm just like emotional for something else. But yeah, so I'm sticking with it.
Tell Victoria what you do now.
So now, actually, this week has been a great example of, like, I feel like a quantum leap this week. So I have, I don't even know where to start because I do have so many things now. But it doesn't feel like a lot. Like, I was telling somebody what I do last night, and they're like, wow, how do you have time for all that? And I'm like, I never had time when I had one job, when I was just doing that annoying thing. There was never enough time in the day to get anything done. And now I teach two classes a week. I teach a class at my local senior center, and they are the cutest. They're so cute. I just do the Halo Active usually with them. Like, yesterday I did
gentle.
Yeah, I just make it very gentle. I don't need any of them passing out on me. Sometimes I'll do like a minute of the bliss breath, and they're like, wow, that one's really difficult. But so I do that on Tuesdays, and then I have, there's a little yoga studio down the street from me that's called We Breathe. And so they don't have a breathwork facilitator. So now I teach a Wednesday.
How appropriate.
I know. Wow. I'm like, did this place exist? So I swear I manifested it in my mind. It wasn't here before. It's, I could walk there. It's crazy.
Wow.
So I teach a little Wednesday class there. And I have two one-on-one clients right now that are, they're both male, and they're both just like when I wouldn't think that they'd be my ideal client, but they seem to just love breath work and the shifts that they're making. Like, it blows my mind that I can hold the space for them to make all these shifts in their life. So it's just so, I have to sit and really receive it. But so I was, when I was trying so hard to focus on that and try to get more clients and get gigs at more yoga studios, I wasn't really getting anywhere. So I don't know if you ever had your human design read.
I have.
Yeah. So I got really into that because I'm a generator. And so my human design reader, she told me that I need to, like, cold calling and looking for things is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I have to be constantly trying to find opportunities. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, you have to find something that you love doing and enjoy yourself, and you'll be a magnet to everything. And so I am now working part-time on a farm, harvesting vegetables. My nails are so dirty. I had this on my pants. Like, I have this knife. I carry this knife.
Oh my gosh.
And I forget to, like, take off of my pants when I walk into the grocery store. And every time I get out of my, get back to my phone, into my car at the end of my shift, I have all these, like, calls. Like, I just did a private group session last week, and it just blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. And I also, one more thing, when I left that remodeling world, I still, like, love, like, house designs and decor and everything. So I still have this vision, and I'm not pushing it to make it happen. I'm just going to let it happen naturally, but I want to be, like, a remodel coach or like a guide. Like, I'm not going to say, this isn't style, you need to do this. It's like, no, what do you want? What makes you happy? What are your creativity, you know, inspirations that you need to have all over your house that make you happy? So last week too, I got out of my farm job, and I get a call from an old contractor, and he's like, I don't know if you're still doing design work. I'm like, actually, kind of on the side I am, but I'm not, like, a designer. I just like to kind of hold your hand through the process. And he's like, I have a job for you. And I'm like, okay, I mostly do bathrooms because that's kind of what I'm good at. And he brought me to there's this like high-end town called Newton. That's right outside Boston. And he's like, we're going to go to Newton. I'll meet you there. And we get there, and he's like, oh, you're going to do the entire house. He goes, I need you to pick out the front door.
Wow.
Okay. So yesterday I went and picked out all their kitchen appliances, and I just find so much joy in that. But so I really do think somehow, some way, it's going to come together where I create a program that says, you know, deconstruction is when we demo. Like, we deconstruct what your beliefs are, and we take a sledgehammer and demo your whatever project you're working on. And then, you know, choosing your products is a whole nother, you know, could be a whole nother breathwork session of, like, what lights you up and what makes you happy, what brings you joy, and creating, visualizing that, and creating a physical space for it in your home, whatever project it may be. And then, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at.
Wow. I think the most amazing thing is just with you letting go of that one job, how much you made room for so many more blessings to come in.
Yeah. I mean, it took a while. Yeah. I got the job in October, and it's been, you know, there's definitely those days where I don't feel like I feel not like a failure, like that's self-sabotaging, but like so many days I have so much doubt. But then there are times like this week where this contractor gave me a huge check yesterday just for the rest of the project. He's like, this is the first of many, but just so you, I have your retainer check. I'm like, what? Where'd this money come from? Like, so yeah, there's good days and bad days, but I really, this past week has felt like a quantum leap. Like, I'm here.
Amazing.
Like a year ago. What is it? What month are we in? July? I was still sick last July, like on the couch, like not being able to get out of the house. And it blows my mind.
I'm curious, are your physical symptoms, have they improved ever since you've done these changes? Yeah.
Not to be TMI, but I used to go to the bathroom like 12 times a day. Like I have to run to the toilet. And now just a normal one movement a day, which I can't believe. Like it still blows my mind. I think back to, but I try not to forget that that's where I was, because it's easy to just be like, oh yeah, that's in the past. But like, no, like this, like I have to feel that gratitude for how far I've come. So yeah.
Wow. I'm inspired. Very much.
Thank you. I'm inspired by you. This is such a beautiful. Josh is watching us all.
Josh, you've got the floor now.
What do you
and want? So we invited the human design reader onto our podcast, and she was like, she did a reading for Josh, but beforehand she's texting me. She's like, I can't wait to do this reading for Josh because he has so many gifts. He's gonna like really change the world.
Oh, yay. I think we all knew that.
Yes, I know.
He needed that reflected back, you know.
Oh.
What are you, Josh, by the way, with your human design?
Manifester.
Nice. So I am both of you guys, I'm the manifesting generator.
Perfect.
So cool. See, I love learning little bits and pieces of this stuff. I take it with a grain of salt and I see how it could be applicable to each of us. But it's like at the end of the day, we're sovereign human beings and we have free will and choice to kind of change it as we need to. So, but I love that stuff.
Me too.
Yeah.
So yeah, Josh, how are you doing? Where are you right now?
Oh my gosh. See, I was going to do my own podcast because I found my voice. I love to talk. And when I share, it seems like new insights come through. And so what do you want to know? Where I'm at? Like, because I could talk for 2 hours on the last 3 days.
Tell us what you're most excited about right now.
I purchased deeperawarenesspodcast.com yesterday. And so I'm building the website because that was my former life. And I was like, hell yeah, I get to use this still. So now our podcast has a home. It feels like Hannah, I was showing Hannah before you joined, Victoria, and did you call it a hammock? It feels like
yes.
The episodes have a hammock now, a place to be held. And so, but I've been really working internally on the resistance I've had, because I know the coping styles that you talked about, that's what's getting in my way. And so just being able to find that and feel into that and be with the feelings inside. And then as that shifts, my reality shifts, my how I see the world, how I see myself. And it just feels like the quantum leap. It feels like I just took like these seven massive steps and I was like, this is so easy. One of the breathwork sessions when I was being breathed, I saw like this gradual hill with this green grass, this tall grass. And it was showing me that when the resistance is gone, it's just like walking down the hill.
Mm.
And that's how the last couple of days has felt. It's just like, do, 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 I'm walking down the hill. You know, it's so easy. And I think I've got, like, at least where I'm at today, it feels like, well, if I go back like a month ago, it felt like I got a heal mode. Heal, 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 heal. And it was the achiever mentality. It's the, when do I just get to pause and be? And today it felt different. It felt like I can heal like moment to moment, but then joy gets to be present for big chunks of the day where I'm just like alive. And the thought of being an aliveness coach came through a couple months ago.
I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And so I'm the one that's going to be editing all of the episodes we've recorded so far. And so I'm just taking a little longer than I wanted to. So I'm, you know, but I'm trying not to remove the shame from that. But so when I was listening to our first recording, I had to remind Josh, I'm like, you're an aliveness coach. Like, we talked all about it for a few hours in the first recording.
Oh, wow. And that's a confirmation. Like, yeah, if we're coming back to it again and just go with it.
We're always coming back to it. Because, and you can probably say it better than I can, but when we talked about the coffin, because I would always say, like, I feel like I'm like this, like I'm stuck in this like thing. And Josh has this metaphor about a coffin just being like, you know, especially when new breathers just like lie there and breathe and don't move at all. It's like, you know, you can feel this way and you can feel this way. And so you're finding the aliveness that all things get to be experienced. So it's just, it's such a beautiful thing. And I really think you got something there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made him watch the scene from Kill Bill Volume 2 when she's breaking free of the coffin. Have you ever seen Kill Bill?
No.
Find someone.
The only thing I remember is like this like commercial about it, but it was pretty graphic. So I was like, I don't know
about graphic. Quentin Tarantino at his finest. But yeah, she's like getting buried alive. Talk about graphic. And so she's in this little coffin and she only has this much room to punch through the coffin. And so she eventually breaks free the coffin. So that's our metaphor for feeling alive again. Just getting out of that coffin, being buried alive.
I love that. The way that I usually think about it is like, we really create this like invisible mental prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally there's so much range, but yet we just put ourselves into this invisible, like barbed wire, like we can't move and we're paralyzed. It's so crazy. And then as soon as you do like some sort of a pattern disruption in the way you think, it just feels so expansive.
Mm. Yeah, I love how you put that.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, so I was a mindset coach before. I was trying to help people break through so they can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized those invisible prisons
mm-hmm.
aren't just limiting our ability to take action. It's actually impacting our ability to feel love and feel joy, which is way more detrimental than our ability to do something. And so, but if you've never experienced joy, or let's say your capacity to experience joy is like a 2, and that's all you know, you don't know that it goes to 100, and you're just like, yeah, I'm totally feeling joy. Look, I'm smiling right now. I'm feeling so joyful, but you don't know any different. And so that's the invisible prison that I am breaking in the middle of breaking out of, where I'm like, oh, I get to actually feel good in my body.
How do you expand that range so you can hit higher levels if you've never experienced?
So this is so funny. So the Stevie Wright has a friend, her name's Dr. Sam Rader, and Dr. Sam was on Sam Skelly's podcast, and a lady, Katie, that was in our cohort, Victoria, introduced me to Dr. Sam, and she's like, I'm learning a ton from her right now. And so she talks, I actually wrote this down, that it was, if people tell us to have self-love, but the people we learned love from didn't have love themselves, like how could they ever give that or show that to us? And that's where we get the, yeah, I'm feeling joy, and it's a 2 out of 100, right? And so what Dr. Sam talks about is we need an external reference, a healthy, like I was always afraid of being codependent of something outside of me. I was like, oh, I can't feel that from you because then it's outside me. But as children, we're actually, that's how we develop. We need that from a loving caregiver. And if we never got that, we need that from somebody outside of us. And so once we find somebody that has embodied love, that ability to sit and open our hearts. And so I was telling Hannah about, I was on a call with Sam and her group last night, and she asked how I was doing. And so I got off mute. There were like 12 people on the call, and I started to talk, and then I started to cry. And she's like, can everybody hold Josh right here? And I start sweating. I was like, why is being loved creating anxiousness in my body? And so, but I was looking at the screen and I could see the people that meant so much to me. And so I felt so safe to be able to be held. But I think it's containers like that where we get to titrate love or joy. Like, it's not just removing the shame, it's also allowing ourselves to experience joy a little at a time until our system is like, okay, I know what this is like. This feels good. I'm going to let this in.
Yeah, I think that's the best way.
Yeah, that landed. I also want to add, you know, there is this like notion that codependency has this icky feeling like it when you say, and I've dabbled in a lot of understanding in that because I have experienced it. I think it's because, like, you know, we've had ruptures and our needs were not met as a child and so forth. But I find that we historically, as a human species, we rely on each other from community, you know, and relational interaction is just as healing as any other modality. Just like, you know, relationships can create trauma and ruptures and wounds, it can also be so healing and soothing. I love that, you know, how that community held you, showed you that it was safe to show up as yourself. And then you kind of realize, like, oh, okay, like, I'm still loved and accepted. I can continue to be that or show that part of me.
And connect deeper with
authenticity. For sure.
All right, well, I have to be the keeper of the time because all of us, Josh and I, can talk for hours.
Oh my gosh, me too. This has been really like so nourishing. Yeah.
Well, you're welcome to come back on anytime.
Oh, thank you so much, you guys. Like, I love breathe this kind of stuff. So to be able to do that with you guys and share this moment has been pretty special.
I think it's so important that everyone stays connected. Like, even though I'm from a different cohort, like, it's just so important to, because I've never felt, just like what you said, Josh, like, even if we're just part of a Zoom call with a bunch of people that are, have similar or in that same realm as you presently are, like, it's just so healing to just be in, feeling that community. So I felt such a difference when it ended, the when we were in it. So I think it's important that we still stick together. Any last thoughts, comments, questions?
Victoria, I wonder if you would mind, just to finish, sharing. I've learned a lot from you, and you introduced the idea of the chosen family. Would you mind just sharing that concept? I think it's so beautiful.
I'd love to. I've learned and I've realized how important family is, even if it's not blood family. We don't get to choose sometimes, you know, our parents and our siblings, but what I've learned is the relationships that I make through friendships, those are so important to me. And I have learned to learn how to nurture them and feed into them and keep them close to me, because they are my family. They are people that I can lean on to. And I share that with you, Josh, in one of our breathwork session. I was like, you are part of my chosen family. I feel safe. I can lean in, I can share. And that's how you said, like, that's how we build intimacy and connection as a human. So I still stand by that.
Yeah, you feel like a beloved sister to me, and it means so much that you came on today.
Well, I'm so proud of you. So this is you guys doing quantum leaps, and I would love to support you on that. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story and your wisdom and just being you.
Thank you for listening to the Deeper Awareness Podcast, where the journey of self-discovery and inner growth continues to unfold. We hope this episode has ignited a spark within you and inspired you to embrace a more conscious and authentic existence by looking within. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe and stay tuned for upcoming episodes, where we'll continue to explore the transformative power of breathwork and emotional healing. Continue the conversation and stay connected with us on Instagram. Follow at Deeper Awareness Podcast to receive daily inspiration, valuable tips, and updates on our latest episodes and offerings. We'd love to hear your thoughts and insights from today's show, so feel free to share them in the comments below or tag us in your posts. Your engagement and feedback mean the world to us as we strive to continue to create content that resonates and empowers our incredible community. Together, we can continue exploring the depths of consciousness, fostering genuine connections, and supporting each other on our transformative journeys. This episode is brought to you by You Belong Breathwork, your destination for transformative healing and self-discovery. At You Belong Breathwork, we believe in the power of breath to unlock the deepest parts of ourselves, leading to profound insights and a greater sense of connection and belonging. Whether you're seeking emotional healing, a deeper connection with yourself, or a path to authenticity, our breathwork sessions, retreats, and coaching programs are designed to guide you on this transformative journey. Our experienced facilitators are here to hold space for you as you explore the depths of your consciousness and discover the infinite potential within. Visit youbelongbreathwork.com to explore our offerings and download a free guided breathwork session. Thank you for being a part of our deeper awareness community. Stay connected, stay curious, and may you embrace your true essence with love and compassion. goodbye for now, and see you in the next episode.